Praise the Lord. We do have a need right now that I would like to ask everyone to pray with me. Brother Tim Riley is having a medical, I don't know if you want to call it emergency, a medical situation right now. Paramedics are helping him out. Let's pray for Tim Riley right now. He's here at church, so let's pray for him in Jesus' name. Lord God, we pray, God, for your spirit, your hand, your blessing, your touch for Brother Tim. Touch his mind, touch his body, touch his spirit. Lord, you know every fiber, every cell of his body. Lord, touch him and make him whole. Deliver him from this stress, this condition, whatever is causing the physical stress right now. I pray for healing, for wholeness, oh God, to come from your presence, from your word. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over him and release virtue and release the word of God for his healing's sake. In Jesus' name we speak it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everyone said, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. If you would stand, please, we're going to read the word of God. I'm so grateful to be in the house of God this morning. Every time I come into the house of God, I am reminded of the days when I did not know anything about this. Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 13. We're going to read verses 47 through 50. If you're a guest of ours this morning, this has already been stated, we are happy you're here. I want you to feel at home. I want you to receive the word of God. We have a number of guests from other churches that we know, and we want to welcome all of you. Brother Budzinski, long time Bible quizzing stalwart. Thousands of people living for God today that were touched by your ministry, brother. Matthew 13, verses 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. One more. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Praise God. Bishop, would you lead us in prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Matthew 13 is a special place in the Bible. I suppose every place in the Bible is special, but this particular chapter holds what people often refer to as the kingdom parables. And as you read, you see that it says the kingdom of God is like or is as. It compares the kingdom of God to certain things. There are seven of them. And Jesus is speaking, of course, and he says the kingdom of God is like this. This is what the kingdom of God is like. He's describing characteristics of the kingdom. And the thing that's significant is that he's trying to explain the kingdom of God to people who think they already have a pretty good understanding of what it is. One of the biggest obstacles of his ministry was to get past the thinking of the Jewish people because they had their mind set. And he was bringing in a new gospel. He was bringing in a fresh understanding of the kingdom. Now, of course, his gospel, his idea of the kingdom was always right. It was eternal. But he was trying to help his own people understand the kingdom of God is really like this. He was saying, you think it's like this, but it's really like this. Now, many people when they read these kingdom parables, they draw the parallel with the book of Revelation, the parallel to the letters of the seven churches. And I know our bishop taught me this, so I know it's right. And we can see a parallel, these two places in the Bible, to the ages of the church. The seven ages of the church, we can draw that parallel. And this particular parallel, the parable of the net, coincides with the church age. We are in the church age right now. Praise God. Some people call it the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The net is cast in this age. In many places in the Gospels, Jesus uses images from fishing because they were there near the Sea of Galilee, and it was something that people could relate to. Anybody here, can you relate to fishing? Come on, Brother Glenn, raise your hand. All right. How many fisher women are there here? I want to raise your hand high. All right. Praise God. My wife said she wanted to go fishing. When we were dating, she was interested in fishing, she said, because she knew I was interested in fishing. And then we went fishing, and she said, "It's no fun fishing with you. We don't catch any fish." So I got a canoe. Praise God. You know, when we talk about fishing, most of the time, though, we talk about fishing with a hook and a line. That's what we're doing. Now, this is Sunday school, so it's okay for me to use teaching aids. In other settings, we would call them props, but not in church. They're not props, they're teaching aids. Now, I wouldn't normally have this beanie baby as a lure. Which section is going to help me out this morning? Let me hear. Are you guys going to help me out? How about this side? I'm sorry, these guys want it. I did not expect that. I thought it would be this end or that end. But all right. So our idea of fishing most often is a hook and a line, and we put a lure on the end of it, and we cast it out. Now, there was a time when a beanie baby would have been a really good lure. If I had put the right beanie baby on the end of this and thrown it out into the crowd, there might have been a riot at one time. Not so much anymore. But so what you do is you cast it out into the water. Watch your hair, ladies. And somebody needs to grab that beanie baby there. Somebody have it? There we go. All right. I caught one. See that? He's not giving it back. All right. Now, you remember how that happened. Now, I forget about all the people who got caught in the line. Just the one person caught that, grabbed that beanie baby. Now, this line here, this pole, this is an ultralight, and I would usually have a much smaller lure on here than something like that. Like I said, that beanie baby belongs to my wife. Don't tell her I used it. Most fishermen have a tackle box, and they have different lures. Here's a little imitation minnow. That would go really well on the ultralight, right, Brother Glenn? Or here's a little buzz bait, spinner bait. You can't even hardly see this, but that's for the smaller one. And then if I want to fish for maybe walleye or northern, you can use this information, you know. This is useful. This is a jointed Rapala, some people's favorite. And then this is one of my favorites for fishing for bass. If I can get it out, it's called a jitterbug. goes on top of the water and it makes a lot of noise. And the fun thing about that is that the largemouth bass, and sometimes the smallmouth, but the largemouth, they'll come up out of the water and just smack that thing. And you feel that it's like electricity in the line. All right, that's what fishing with a... And if you really want to go big time, we have some fishermen here that they... They're serious about their fishing. I'm not going to throw this into the crowd because the hooks on this are as big as the lures that I use on the ultralight. This is a musky lure. And there's some musky fishers here. Brother Thomas's son-in-law is a musky fisher, Brother Contreras, the pastor, Pastor Jeff Contreras. And he can go anywhere in the world and fish for musky and catch them. I think he catches them in drainage ditches. I mean, the guy's amazing. Musky fishermen, this isn't even a proper musky rod. This isn't stout enough. It needs to be thicker. And a lot of times they're a little bit shorter. And it's like fishing with a stick because they have to be that strong. And every line, every fisherman has certain types of lures and certain poles that they want to use in order to catch certain kind of fish. Right? So if I throw that big musky lure out there, I'm not going to catch many panfish. Again, this is useful information. If you haven't been ever fishing, you can use this. One time, Glenn Uselman and I, Glenn's over here, we were fishing with my brother-in-law up on Lake Tomahawk. And my brother-in-law is the one that got me interested in bass fishing. And that's the only thing I'm halfway decent at is bass fishing. But he's a musky fisher, and he likes to fish at night. And the only musky I have ever caught have been when I was with him. But Glenn and I were out fishing with him one time, and Glenn caught this huge walleye. I mean, like 28 inches, big fish. Walleye are good eating. I would keep that fish anywhere, anytime. But my brother-in-law, Jerry Witt, he's a musky fisher, and we're fishing musky that night. And he looked at that walleye, and he said, throw that rough fish back in the water. My point is, when we fish with a hook and a line, we're fishing for a certain kind of fish, usually. We're fishing, and you're only going to catch one at a time. Catch one fish. It's like a job description. See, when you are looking for a job, you look at the paper and there's 50 jobs in there. Well, maybe not 50 these days, maybe 20. But you look at the job descriptions and you find that it fits your skills. They're fishing for a certain kind of person. They're looking for a certain one. They're going to try and narrow it down. And you're looking for a certain kind of job, usually. You write your resume. If you're looking for work, you probably have several types of resumes for different types of jobs that you're gonna, you should, if you're actually really looking, you should. Have a couple of different resumes prepared for certain jobs. Because those are designed for a certain thing, a certain person, a certain ability. Some people approach church this way. They decide what they like, what they're fishing for, what they're shopping for, and they go to the church and see if it fits. See if the church, if I fit in the church and the church fits me. And they're looking for a certain kind of bait. You know, all the churches are out there trying to figure out if they should use a jointed Rapala or a crankbait or a jitterbug. I hope you're not here just looking for the right kind of bait this morning. Because we're not trying to lure anybody. Look at verse 47 again. Matthew 13, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. A net. not a line. They fish with a net. Now, the only net I have is one that's designed to catch one fish, and that's one that's already on the line. And I don't use that much. But just pretend that this is made out of mesh. Now, it looks a little dirty, but I did shake it out. So this is my net. And I'm in my boat. Now, you guys, we promised you'd help. So I need someone to come up and grab one corner of this and someone to come up and grab the other corner. There you go. And then I need two more people to grab the other two corners. One on each end. Lift up my net and walk it out over the crowd without messing up anybody's hair any more than I already have. Just walk out a little bit. Try and keep it off their heads. There you go. Now walk up the aisle a little bit. I'm not going to tell you to drop it. Don't worry. Come on back. That's my net. I just cast it out. Look at how much area I covered with that net. Jesus isn't here trying to lure you today. You can fold it up if you don't mind. Take it out back and what? No, just kidding. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net, not a line. It's not God's idea to lure you. The Bible says that a net was cast in the last days, in the church age, if we can make that parallel and make that application. Right now, there's a net cast in this building. Right now, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not. That the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came to be with us, and he cast the net of the Holy Spirit in the church age. He came to where the fish were. He came to those that had the need. The Bible says that when he spoke to the Jews, he said that, I didn't come to heal those that were well. I came to heal those that were unwell. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. I came to call the sinners. My point is this, is that when the gospel is preached, when the Holy Ghost starts moving in a church like this, what you felt today in the worship service that was here, it's not about Jesus just trying to lure you into the kingdom. It's the Spirit of God moving on everyone present. The church age is set apart from the rest of history by the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It was never before understood, never before happened. The apostles couldn't quite grasp it until it finally happened on the day of Pentecost. When it was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. About 120 of them, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled, say, all the house. Not just where the 12 were, all the house. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Say, each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. He didn't just cast a line of the Holy Ghost and catch one apostle and then another till he had 12 and then go home with his stringer full. No, he cast a net. Everyone in the room was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. About 7 days before that happened, Jesus gave them instructions and he said, you will be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You will receive power and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus cast the net of his spirit on the day of Pentecost, but that net is still cast out across this planet, and it's resting here on Calvary Gospel Church this morning. All through the rest of the book of Acts, we see the ministry of the apostles expanding in the then known world, and everywhere they went, the same thing happened. People heard the gospel. They repented from their sins, which meant they asked Jesus to forgive them. They committed themselves to change their lives with his help. They were baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ, and they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not a line. It's a net. It's not just for one or two in this building, not just for 10 or 12 or 20 or 50. It's for everyone in this room. It's a net. Amen. Everybody's affected by the net. Now you may manage to wiggle your way out, but you still felt the presence. You've been touched by the net. You're in the house of God today. I know that you have been touched by God's presence. I know that the Bible says that his word will not return void. Something that God speaks to your heart today will affect you. Not just because I'm saying it, not because we have a preacher behind the pulpit, because God's Holy Spirit is here ministering to every one of us. On the day of Pentecost, Peter quoted the prophet Joel, and he said that this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He said part of the prophecy was this, that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Think about that. I believe personally that the day of Pentecost not only changed things for the apostles or those 120, I believe that the Holy Ghost changed more than just the church. I believe that the Holy Ghost affected more than just believers. The Bible says he poured the Spirit out upon all flesh. On the day of Pentecost, the whole world was changed in a moment. I believe that people that have never responded to the gospel, maybe never even heard the gospel preached, they are beneficiaries of a blessing and a protection that comes from the presence of God in the earth that wasn't present before the day of Pentecost. That's why when the rapture takes place and God withdraws his church and the outpouring of the Spirit is over, that's why the world is going to be such a terrible place to be, because the presence of God will be withdrawn in his Holy Spirit. It's a net. It's not a line. He's not... I know that I'm a white guy in a suit preaching the gospel here this morning. Some people got that right away, right, sister? Now, when I first came here, I wasn't wearing a suit. I was still pretty white, but I wasn't wearing a suit. But I'm preaching the gospel. It's the Spirit of God that's ministering to you. It's the Word of God that's being delivered here. And as far as he's concerned, it doesn't matter whether you're wearing a suit or not. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter where you came from. If you're here, he's reaching out to you. The net is being cast by the presence of God in this house right now. Jesus said he was a spiritual doctor, and he was looking for people who needed to be healed, who needed to be made whole. Is there something in your life that's missing? Is there something in your life that's sick? Is there some need that you have? He's here to meet your need this morning because he is casting the net. He came to call sinners to repentance. We love him, the Bible says, because he first loved us. Now, this is a stumbling block for some people when they come into a Pentecostal church. They see all the suits and ties and dresses and nice clothes and clean people, and they look like someone out of a hymnal, I guess. But we didn't always look like that. We love him because he first loved us. I didn't come into the church loving God, full of the Holy Ghost. I came into the church because I was empty and broken and hungry and needful. And something happened inside of me when I began to realize that he loved me anyway. The scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It means that he looked down on me and he knew everything that was wrong about me, but he loved me enough to die on a cross anyway. Some people have the idea that our God withholds his love until we can prove to him that we're good enough to be worthy of it. But the truth is, we will never, ever get good enough to deserve the love of God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. The net is being cast this morning. The Holy Ghost is here. He isn't looking just for a certain kind of person. He isn't looking for the right kind of church person. I'm not just talking to the other white guys in suits this morning. Praise God. That's not the purpose. That's not what God's trying to do here. The Holy Spirit. There was a Syrophoenician woman that came to the Lord. And she was asking for him to meet her needs. And he said, but my purpose here, the reason I'm here right now, this time frame, this window of my ministry is designed and purpose to be to the Jews, because I have to reach them first before I open the gates to everyone. But she said, yeah, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs of the table. And Jesus said, all right, that's faith. He said, doesn't matter what, I make the rules, I'm changing it right now. She's got faith, I'm answering her, I'm meeting her need. But now those limitations don't exist. The door is open for everyone. The door really was always open for everyone, but for the time being, it was through the Jews that people had to access the grace of God. But now the door is open for everyone. But the point I'm trying to make is that the Syrophoenician woman, the thing that activated the gift and blessing of God was her faith. That's what God cares about. He doesn't care how you're dressed. Unless, of course, you've been living for him for a while, then he's going to try and help you straighten some things out. But when we come to God, his only concern is that you respond to his word by faith. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means, and that word there, it talks about hearing the word of God. It's talking about the active word of God. It means the word of God mixed with faith, mixed with the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so different to be in a Pentecostal church when there's the anointing of God in the house and the Holy Spirit is casting the net and the word of God is going forth. Something happens that doesn't happen anywhere else. That's what's happening right here. If you will just allow yourself to get past all of your preconceived notions, your ideas about what is and isn't, and you will just look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and believe in him for your salvation. Believe in him for the cleansing blood of Calvary through the waters of baptism. Believe that he can fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You will receive what you need today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. His word will not return void. The Holy Ghost is here. Praise God. I can't name every need in this place, but he can. He knows our needs before we pray, the scripture says. And you may be thinking, you don't know my need, Brother Seidel. You're right, I don't. But he does. Let's stand. Now, you read the story, it says at the end that when they got the fish into the boat, they sorted them. See, Brother Seidel, they sorted them. But the Bible gives us criterion. Gives us criteria, plural, when he's casting the net. First of all, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You can get caught in a lot of nets in this world. Maybe you're struggling to free yourself from one or another net right now. But I'm telling you, there's a net that's full of truth. And it's the word of God. And that's the net that we're casting. The net of God's word. It will make you free. Not just set you free, because set you free means you got loose. Ooh, I got out of that net of drug addiction. I got out of that net of pornography. I got out of that net of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. That's good that you get out of that net. But it doesn't just set you free from the net you were in. It makes you free. You become a free person in the kingdom of God. He that the Son hath set free is free indeed. Praise God. So whatever it is that's got you tangled up this morning, he can get you free and make you free and keep you free. Second criterion is whosoever will. In the book of Revelation, it says whosoever will may come. That means in your heart you have a desire and it motivates you to action. Praise God. If you want, if you will, this morning you can be set free. The net is cast. And the Holy Ghost sorts by these criteria. The truth and a will. If you submit your will to him, praise God. I feel the presence of God here. I'm going to ask you in just a minute to come down to the front and pray. If you need healing, I want you to come over on this side and we'll pray for your healing. We believe God's a healer. We believe the Holy Ghost is here. We believe there are gifts of healing in the church and that the Holy Spirit can do it right here today this morning. If you have something you're struggling with, we want you to come down right in the front. Whatever your issue is, whatever you need help with, come and pray and let God minister to you. But if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you've never spoken in other tongues, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and had your sins washed away, come down on this side. You can be born again today. He will make you free. He will set you free and keep you free. Praise God. He will give you his name. He will give you a new life. The criteria are the truth. Got to know the truth. And whosoever will. Psalm 51 says the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. That means you just need to be sorry for your sin, ask him for forgiveness, and he will meet with you. Please come and pray. Come and let God fill you with his spirit. Come and let him baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. The net is cast. It's not just for one. It's not just for a few, but it's for everyone. God. Hallelujah. God is not limited. He's not looking for a certain kind of person. He's looking for every person. His blood was shed for every one of us. He is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh.
For He's broken the shackles, He's broken the chains.